Good morning, friends. It's John here. Palm Sunday. It's all about God doing a new thing. How long had the Jews been celebrating Passover? Many hundreds of years. But when Jesus arrived on Palm Sunday, something changed. Something in the heavens was altered in a dramatic way. This was the start of a new thing, a new dawn, the morning of a new age. God was about to change the whole relationship between himself and mankind. He was shaking up the whole spiritual universe. Never before had the battleground between good and evil been turned around like this. Never before had death been defeated. This was a completely new thing. God was changing the whole playing field. God was doing a new thing. It truly was a new morning, the dawn of a new age of history. Let's look at the change that God is making in our lives. Let's welcome those changes the way the people wanted to welcome Jesus. But let's ensure our welcome is not short-lived. Consider what the people who were lining the streets expected of Jesus and how that was not fulfilled. The change that Jesus brought was a change of a different type than what they wanted. They wanted freedom in human terms. Freedom from those Roman oppressors. Freedom from tyranny. Freedom in political terms. What Jesus brought was a freedom which they didn't expect, which they didn't imagine. And it was a freedom many of them didn't want. So, which changes is God bringing you? Which changes do you want? Which changes does God want? So here we are, edging towards the end of this coronavirus lockdown. As the lockdown lifts, it's like a new dawn. But what kind of dawn do you want? Are there freedoms that you yearn for? Freedoms which you cherish now, which you didn't even think about a year ago? I suggest a further question. What kind of dawn does God want in your life? What sort of freedoms does God want to bring to you? As we think of mornings, one thing we know for sure, because the Bible tells us very clearly about it, and that's this. We can rely on God's mercy for this new morning, this new dawn. Lamentations 3:22. It is of God's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If you want a simpler rendering of that in the Good News Bible, it has it as, the Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise. I like that phrase, sure as the sunrise. I'm very keen on sunrises. But please note, when we read these verses, it's from the book of Lamentations. Lamentation is not a word we use much these days, but it means something like complaints or sadnesses. I'd suggest you read the context of these statements. Jeremiah, who wrote the book, was having a hard time of it. It's all very well to talk about God's mercy when everything's going well, but to talk about relying on God's mercy when things are going badly around you reaches into depths of faith. Relying on God's mercy when life is tough is at the heart of what it means to trust God. It's at the heart of knowing God in a deep way. It's in those tough times that God often guides us into a deeper relationship with him. It's when a friend extends his hand and leads you through the bog that you realise his love for you. That's where God's at with us. The Bible never promises that God will make life easy for us, but it does promise that God is right there with us in the middle of the mess. And let me just step back one verse before those famous verses about God's mercy. Lamentations 3:21 starts, "This is what comes to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's gracious love, we are not consumed, since his compassion never ends. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Did you catch that? He's saying that he brings to mind God's mercies when he's feeling down. It's the conscious effort to remember God's goodness which lifts his mood. All of that chapter, Lamentations 3, is well worth a read at. But it's not our topic for today. So let's just get back to mornings. So we can rely on God in the morning, at the start of a new day, at the start of unlockdown, at the start of the next step that God has for us. I suspect that you've been looking forward to doing things over the next few weeks and months that previously were not allowed. What sort of thing have you been longing for? For some people, it will be a long list of things. For others, it's maybe just one thing. Maybe I want to visit my friend. I want to go on holiday. Or I long to go to the shops. For some of us, it might be the first time that we've really longed for something for many months. And while we've been longing for this new morning, have we been longing for God in that sort of way? Psalms has this phrase about longing, "as the watchman longs for the morning." Psalm 130 verse 6 in a few different versions, King James Version. "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. Good News Bible. "I wait for the Lord more eagerly than sentries wait for the dawn." Than sentries wait for the dawn. And the Passion Translation, "I long for you more than any watchman would long for the morning light. I watch and wait for you, O God, throughout the night." Here's a few questions. What's your morning routine? How do you greet God in the morning? Do you make pledges or promises in the morning for the rest of the day? Do you look forward to the new day? Mornings set us up for the new day. It speaks of new things. So another couple of questions. Maybe questions to ask ourselves each morning. What new things do I want this morning? What old things do I want rid of this morning? But let's also ask those questions of God. Of old things, new things. What new thing do you, God, want this morning? What old thing do you want me to be rid of this morning? The morning is a good time to sing a new song to the Lord. Psalms 96, verse 1. "Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord all the earth." Psalm 40, verse 3. "He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God." Here's another question to think on. Are you a morning person? Do you wake up full of joys or dreading things? Does that morning mood extend to the new day of life after lockdown? Are you expecting good or evil things in these new changes? Are you expecting God to move, God to provide for you? And since we're doing questions, let's think about, what's your morning discipline like? Do you have good or bad habits for when you first get up? Discipline is something the Bible has a lot to say about. Hebrews 12:11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, for those who have been trained by it, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace." The full context for that passage on discipline is worth looking at. So Hebrews 12:11 through 14. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time but painful later on, however. For those who have been trained by it, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Therefore, strengthen your arms and your weak knees, and straighten the paths of your life, so that your lameness may not become worse, but instead be healed. Pursue peace with everyone, as well as holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We train ourselves through discipline. The word for discipline is also used for nurture, training, instruction. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete throughout, thoroughly equipped for every good action. How's that for an objective for each morning? That we might be complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. And this passage is even more powerful in the Passion Translation. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the paths of godliness, that you might be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. That objective, the target there, is even stronger. God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared. Wow, let's aim for that this new dawn. In the morning, at the start of a new thing, what do we expect? How do we set our expectations for the day, for the next week, the month, the year? And let's extend that. It's not just expectations. How about our hopes, our desires, our wildest dreams? And when we talk about setting expectations, how about setting ambitions for ourselves, for our Christian lives? Can we set those ambitions for the new day, for the new week, or for the new season in our lives? What do we aim at in the morning? Is it just getting through the day in one piece, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Or is it doing some good work, housework, paid employment, achievement in pastime? Or having some good contact with other people, with God? Let's have a look at what things we could aim for in our daily life, no matter who we are or what job or home or status we have. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful. Continually be prayerful. In everything be thankful, because this is God's will for you in the Messiah Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not despise prophecies. Instead, test everything. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace himself make you holy in every way, and may your whole being, spirit, soul, and body remain blameless when our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, appears. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. That's Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. And I reckon that's a good list for things to aim for each day and each new dawn. Be joyful, be prayerful, be thankful. That's a great summation of the attributes which God wants to encourage us, morning by morning. And I'd suggest that a joyful, prayerful, thankful approach to life is the key to returning to whatever normal life is going to look like after lockdown. These three things, to be joyful, prayerful, and thankful, have been referred to as the standing orders of the Christian church. And they're instructions from Paul and not to be taken lightly. There's a constancy in what he instructs us here. It's not when you feel like it, but always. And it's for each and every day. So each and every morning, let us set our aim at being joyful, prayerful, and thankful. joyful, prayerful, thankful. It could be a mantra for us all, a slogan to repeat to ourselves whenever we're not sure of the next step. A way to measure and assess any situation. Will this help me to be joyful, prayerful, thankful? If you prefer that version in more poetic form, the Passion Translation has it as, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Or if you prefer the King James Version, you know, the one that some people think of as the real Bible, it has it as, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When it comes to us being instructed to be joyful, this might seem strange when folk think of the causes of suffering which are all around. But as one writer puts it, I do not overlook any more than St. Paul did the cause for sorrow. But causes for sorrow are transient. They are like the dark clouds which overshadow the sky for a time and then pass away. While the cause of joy, the redeeming love of God in Christ Jesus, is permanent. It's like the unchanging blue beyond the clouds, ever present, ever radiant, overarching and encompassing all our passing woes. So this new morning, this new dawn, let's try to look beyond the clouds and see the blue sky, which we know is up there. Let us be joyful, prayerful, and thankful. There's another list of instructions which I'd suggest we consider at the start of this new dawn, this emergence from lockdown. This one is in Romans and has a heading of Marks of a True Christian in most Bibles. Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Your love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to each other with mutual affection. Excel at showing respect for each other. Never be lazy in showing such devotion. Be on fire with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in trouble, and persistent in prayer. Supply the needs of the saints, extend hospitalities to strangers, bless those who persecute you, keep on blessing them and never curse them. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing, cry with those who are crying, live in harmony with each other. Do not be arrogant, but associate with humble people. Do not think that you are wiser than you really are. Do not pay anyone back evil for evil, but focus your thoughts on what is right in the sight of all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live in peace with all people. Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, vengeance belongs to me, I will pay them back, declares the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. For if he is thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you will pile burning coals in his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. So in the middle of that list is another reference that ties together joy and prayer. Verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in trouble, and persistent in prayer. Or to emphasize that, let's look at the Passion Translation. Romans 12, 12, let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. And just a wee mention in here about all this exhortation to prayer. Let's not limit ourselves to one type of prayer. Let's find as many ways to pray as we can. It's about communication with God, so let's make full use of it. At the end of the passage about the armour of God, there's this little verse with a big impact, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and request. Likewise, be alert with your most diligent efforts and pray for all the saints. There's something wonderful in there when it ties up the idea of praying in the Spirit and every kind of prayer and request. To me, this sounds like it refers to God's inventiveness, his ability to create. How many kinds of prayer and request can you list? It sounds like an encouragement to listen to God and speak to God in new ways. In the same way as a mobile phone might let you chat to your best friend at almost all times, the gift of prayer allows you to chat to God at all times and in all ways. And maybe that last bit of the verse could be an extra wee practical hint. Perhaps Paul's saying, if you ever think you've run out of things to pray for all the saints. Finally, when it comes to mornings, when it comes to new dawns, turning a new page, how about the question of when do we expect the Lord's return? I have to admit, it's not something that dominates my thoughts, but maybe we should give it more than a passing thought. So, tomorrow morning, and maybe each morning, maybe we should think on this. Mark 13:32. No one knows when that day or hour will come, not the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. Be careful, watch out, because you don't know when the time will come. It's like a man who went on a trip. As he left home, he put his servants in charge, each with his own work, and he ordered the doorkeeper to be alert. So keep on watching, because you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at 3 o'clock in the morning, or at dawn. Otherwise, he may come suddenly and find you asleep. I'm telling you what I'm telling everyone. Be alert. So that's it for today, folks. This Palm Sunday, let's look at new things, new mornings, new dawns, and how we approach the new. Take care of yourselves, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.